We go on the theory that you should be able to vehemently disagree in a very respectful manner, and you should be able to go out and have a cup of coffee and a beer afterwards, right? It's not personal. It's a war of ideas. And so we continue to try and do that. Now, at the end of the day, in that type of scenario, you've also got a king there, right? He's also known as the CEO.
But hold strong to what you believe about your brand and partner with people that you know you want to be with as best you can. The other thing that I would say is don't ever take your eye off of franchisee economics.
Welcome, I'm Ryan Hicks, and this is Modern Business, the podcast to learn from franchise business leaders and explore new business technology. Our community is about sharing knowledge and tools that help us achieve our goals in business and beyond. Thanks for being here, and welcome to Modern Business.
Welcome back to Modern Business, folks. Last week, I was at the IFA conference in Phoenix, and it was quite excellent. The team at IFA did a very good job organizing. At the show, I got to sit down with a couple of folks on the leadership team at Tropical Smoothie Cafe, and I want to give a shout out to Fish Consulting for organizing it, and to Ashley Davidson, thank you so much for setting up the meet. But I sat down with the CEO, Mike Rotondo, as well as the Chief Development Officer, Charles Watson, and there's some really good content as you listen through to this podcast. We chatted about millennials and franchising. And a side note there, I think we're going to actually start a whole segment on that topic in the coming weeks. And I'll probably have another host join to help lead that initiative. But we did chat about millennials and franchising. Listen for Mike's top three things a successful franchisor does well. I think it's around the 20-minute mark. We also talked about top advice to young franchisors, because Tropical Smoothie is about at 640 units. And Mike and Charles both gave some really great advice to younger operators. And I think this advice can be applied to folks that aren't franchised businesses and that aren't in the franchise world. They gave a couple of good vendor shout outs. Adam from Sunbelt Foods Company, Don Kane at Hot Dish Advertising. And they gave some very good book recommendations. One of them, I'll give you one. Mike threw out the recommendation of The Question Behind the Question by John G. Miller. I thought that was very good. So enjoy this sit-down interview with Mike and Charles from Tropical Smoothie Cafe. We're here at IFA, the International Franchise Association Conference, and we're sitting with Charles Watson, Chief Development Officer of Tropical Smoothie Cafe, as well as Mike Rotondo, the Chief Executive Officer. And we're going to chat a little bit about their growth and share some gold nuggets of wisdom. Perfect. So before we jump into all that, take me back to the beginning. How did Tropical Smoothie come about?
Yeah, so Tropical Smoothie started back in 1997. Started out actually just selling smoothies down in the panhandle of Florida. And they were a smoothie shop only. Eric Jenrich and David Walker, our founders, started Tropical Smoothie Franchise Development Corp. Sold our first franchise agreement, I think, in 1997. 2 years later, we added food because we said smoothies was just not enough from a revenue standpoint. So they brought food into the brand. And so that's kind of where it started, down in the panhandle of Florida with Eric Jenrich and David Walker that kind of had this idea. They found this smoothie concept and said, we think there's something here. And they started that back in 1997, 20 years ago.
Excellent. Did you have a background? What did you do before then?
So before that, I was working with brands. I've worked with Wendy's International, Honey Baked Ham, Arby's. So I've worked typically with bigger companies, but always been in operations and development.
Excellent. And Charles, what is your background? Do you come from the franchise world?
I sure do. My background is I spent the first 10 years of my career in hotel franchise development. So I worked for Wyndham Hotels, Intercontinental Hotels, and U.S. Franchise Systems. I grew up in the restaurant business. My dad was in the restaurant business in Atlanta. So I grew up washing dishes and waiting tables. And so it was a pleasure in 2010 to get back into restaurants. And I've been working with Mike ever since to help grow the Tropical Smoothie Cafe brand.
Excellent. You guys are growing very fast. You just came across your 10-year anniversary.
Yes, sir.
And you're expanding in markets all over the place. Talk a little bit about the growth, and I guess I'll direct this over to you. You're adding resources at the corporate office. Talk a little bit about the growth that you're having and how you're supporting the franchisees as they're coming into the business.
Absolutely. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that the our growth is really driven by the work that we did 5, 6, 7 years ago, and that's about unit-level economics for the franchisees. We're a company that believes that if franchisees are making money, everything's going to work out, and we're going to be able to grow the brand. What Mike and our private equity owners, BIP Capital, have allowed us to do is to invest ahead of the curve. We now have the unit-level economics that Mike and the operations and marketing team have given me that drives the ability to sell more franchises. So once the franchises start getting sold, it's all about then supporting and handholding those new franchisees in the real estate process, in the design and construction process, grand opening, field marketing, et cetera. And our corporate support center from 2013 to 2018 now has gone from 13 people to 80 people. So we're investing heavily in the resources to be able to ensure our franchisees' success.
When it comes to technology, you're empowering the folks in your franchisees, obviously, with the system and with operations and all the rest. How are you looking at technology to set you apart and differentiate you from the other folks in the space?
Yeah, we're doing everything we can to activate different levels of technology. As a matter of fact, as we look at our strategic pillars moving forward, we look at technology as being the foundation of all of those pillars. So the app that we launched 18 months ago, we have a fully functional app, order ahead, pay, loyalty. I think our numbers currently, we have 16% of our total transactions are funneling through the app with people ordering ahead. The average transaction through the app is over a dollar higher than our average transaction in cafe. So just that piece of technology alone has had a huge impact on our brand. Some of our top performing franchisees are utilizing that app and have over 30% of their transactions flowing through the app. So that's one example of how, you know, we've really kind of taken technology and taken it to be something that really more leads the brand as opposed to this technology that supports certain initiatives. Technology leads the initiatives, and it's what really keeps us moving forward.
And if you were to give the value prop, how do you differentiate, how do you separate yourself from the other guys and the other folks out there in the field? Because I think you've done a phenomenal job with the brand that you've built, but how do you separate yourself?
So I think the biggest thing, I'd love to tell you something super exciting, but the fact that we have food and smoothies is a big differentiator for us. Yeah, so the food, so we have flatbreads, we have wraps, we have salads, et cetera. So simple, healthy, better for you food opportunities at our cafes. And then we've always been known for healthier, fantastic, fresh fruit smoothies. And so what's been interesting to see is the fact that the McDonald's has smoothies. Many other brands have smoothies. So smoothies are ubiquitous, but I think we play in the higher end of that smoothie sector. And when you add the food to it, what it does for a franchisee, and it drives average gross sales, right? And in restaurants, sales cures all ills, right? And so we're allowed more flow through for our franchisees, higher profitability percentages, etc. So we've got $850,000 AUV in our sights in the next 36 months, and we think that we'll get there. So the ability to make money and have food and smoothies is really what differentiates us, and the fact that being a healthier option really makes us very impactful to our consumers. We're trying to eat a little bit better.
Do you have millennial franchisees?
Absolutely. Yeah, we absolutely do. And they're some of our best franchisees. I was at a cafe in Atlanta. Kyler opened up his second cafe. He's opening up his third cafe. I walk in the cafe. He's behind the bar, working the smoothie bar, talking to customers. I think those franchisees, man, I love all of our franchisees, but I tell you, the millennials that we have, they're in the business. John Tang in D.C., I mean, they're in the business, working the business. They know their customers. And it's such a passionate group of people. The thing I'll also say that differentiates Tropical Smoothie is our culture. Not just the culture at the support center that we set, but the culture within our cafes, the experience that people have at a Tropical Smoothie versus some of our competitors, I really believe sets us apart. And it comes from these super passionate franchisees that love the brand and are behind the brand and are just executing on all cylinders in their cafes.
So I'm going to give a little shout out. I'm involved with a group in Dallas. They're actually expanding New York and LA. It's called the Dallas Millennial Club. They're doing the New York Millennial Club. And then there's also this Young Investors Network, et cetera. They do weekly meetups. If you were to give a mini motivational kick them in gear, you should go into franchising. Because I see all these people talking about they want to start the next app. They want to do all this tech stuff and be the next Mark Zuckerberg. Whenever you can go, there's an amazing opportunity right here that you can license a system that's got it down there in 640 locations. There are markets across the country. Why franchising, and what advice do you have to that young entrepreneur?
Yeah, I would say franchising is if you want to do something by yourself, so you're doing business by yourself, but you're not alone, right? You have this brand behind you. So franchising does not take away creativity. Franchising does not take away entrepreneurialism. If you're a young entrepreneur and you want to have a business, go with something that you can grow fast. We talked to a couple of guys that they're part of another brand and they're thinking about coming to Tropical Smoothie. They have 26 locations. And they opened their first location when they got out of college. And they engaged in it and they drove the business. So if you are entrepreneurial and you think you've got a great idea, hey, get involved with franchising. Whether it's Tropical Smoothie or some other franchise, get involved, drive the business, improve unit level economics. And then if you want to go do something, you can go do it. But get a good foundation. I think franchising is just an amazing opportunity for people. If the investment is right and you believe in the brand, you can be so successful.
Charles, anything to add to that?
I would just say that it's, in my view, it's a time saver, right? We've already built the bicycle. We know how to ride it. We'll teach you how to ride it, et cetera. And to Mike's point, if you have a fantastic idea for an app, et cetera, and that is your passion, go do it. But if you investigate franchising, if you don't write code, you're in trouble. If you don't have a very specific set of skills, there's an opportunity to get with a brand that will teach you what you need to know. And then it's the same passion play. It's having passion. It's Kyler Esposito in Atlanta that he talked about, where you can take all that work and you can, if you talk about millennials and you talk about experiential, find the right brand that fits with you, that works in their communities. Franchising is a community-based business. You're going to be successful if you're successful in a 3-mile radius around your retail location, right? That is hyper community-based, and I think that touches on a lot of what millennials want to do these days.
Yeah, and I find the franchising world interesting. I've been passionate about it since I was 8. I've been in the business on the vendor side since 2014, really. But what I find is even, like you just mentioned, even you're saying get into franchising, find the right fit for you. It doesn't necessarily have to be your brand, but it's a community where people are sharing. We're at this conference. Sorry for the background noise. Yeah. But it's that community. Along the way, you come from restaurant pedigree and all the rest. What is a mentor? Who is a mentor that you've had that's impacted your life?
It would be too easy to say my CEO, Mike Rotundo. That I might sound like a brown noser saying that. He's had a huge impact on my career and my life. But one of the biggest mentors that I've had was the guy who gave me my first shot, a guy by the name of Tom Oliver. He was the CEO of Intercontinental Hotels. I was 22 and he gave me a shot working at Intercontinental Hotels and put me into a different area that I was uncomfortable in, which was a strategic services role that was development and technology based. And it gave me a great opportunity to see how big companies work. And after that experience, I was able to understand a big company is not where I want to be. I want to be in the growth phase. So by learning sometimes what you don't want to do, it drives you in the direction of what you do want to do. So Tom gave me that opportunity and I'm forever grateful to it.
Yeah, and they say, you know, the big companies have it buttoned up. No, I think they just amplify the craziness that exists in a small company. And big company is not for me either. Although one could argue that you are a big company, but you run it like a small company and you have the culture. I want to ask you the same question, but expand on the culture that you have, the vision, the values, and the culture that you have.
Absolutely. I think the culture is just super thick at Tropical Smoothie. It's the best way I can describe it. It's not just something that's on the wall. We have 4 key values. We talk about solid relationships, creative spirit, living better, and playing to win. Those are our 4 values. So they may sound basic, but we live and breathe them every day. It's on everybody's performance appraisal. We do shout outs at the support center. So peer to peer, if somebody does something that really exudes creative spirit, somebody else in the support center can do a shout out and give them a card and they get to spin a prize wheel and everything. I mean, it may seem corny, but I think the team really loves it. But those are our values. We talk about our values with our vendors. Like, we'll sit down with vendors and say, these are our values. If you can operate within these values, we can do business with you. If you violate any of these values, we will not be able to do business with you. And our franchisees, actually on the Franchise Business Review, we do that every year. And it's one of our highest scores when the franchisees talk about our culture and our values. They see it and they believe in it. So it isn't something that we just talk about. We live the values on a daily basis. So the culture is we're very aggressive. We set very aggressive goals. One of the things I tell people, is impossible is nothing. I don't like when people tell me something's not realistic. I say, I didn't ask you if it was realistic. What I want to know is it possible? And our culture drives that type of energy and that type of curiosity. It's one of the things I love about the millennials that are on our team. I know there are people that shy away from millennials and think they're too hard to work with. Our culture, I say some of the millennials that we have on our team, they're some of the most resourceful, some of the most intelligent folks. And if you can give them something to believe in and you can set them on a course that they're excited about, they will walk through walls. And that's a part of what's going on at Tropical Smoothie right now. We're being driven by a group of good senior leaders, but then we also have these young, learning young executives that are on our team that are just tearing things up.
Love it. You mentioned vendors. Give a shout out to a vendor or two that you work with. I'm sure you have a bunch of great ones.
Yeah, I would say, so as an example, Adam Schulhofer, Sunbelt Foods, he's a food broker for us. But Adam is like, he's a part of the team. If a franchisee has a problem with any of the products that Adam reps, he will get on the phone with that franchisee. And he will get on a phone with a franchisee and he will talk to them and get them a credit or whatever. So he's been involved with Tropical Smoothie as long as I have. And I would just say he is probably kind of gold standard of a vendor of Tropical Smoothies.
Does anyone come to mind for you?
Yeah, I've got one as well. I would say a vendor for me that works in franchise development and marketing is a group called Hot Dish Advertising out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Don Kane and Jen Campbell, we've been with them for 5 or 6 years now. They are integrated into our team. I do not have 7 franchise development marketing people. I have Hot Dish that I work with, and they are completely integrated, understand our core values, understand how we push and try to accomplish things, and understand what our goals are and how to get us there. And you know what? They're great people, right? And we trust each other, and that's the most important thing.
Love it. Mentor for you, someone that's just made a good impact, impression, and shooken up your world along the way.
Yeah, I would say back when I was with Wendy's International, I really got a great start with Wendy's, and Mark Liebel was a divisional vice president that led me, and he took me under his wing. I was a young district manager, and he took me under his wing and worked with me and, made me really focus on what's important to the business, the people side of the business, all those things. And he just had a huge impact on me as kind of a young, new district manager. And Mark really showed me the ropes and introduced me to the right people. And those were some of the best experiences that I can think of, those early days at Wendy's.
Yes. Do you have a favorite book? Are you guys readers?
We are. So I'll go. I would go the QBQ, Question Behind the Question. Question Behind the Question is a book that is really great because what it talks about is accountability. So when something doesn't go your way, the first thing people talk about is, well, why and this and that. What the Question Behind the Question talks about is, what can you do to change the outcome next time? So it's really something that when something doesn't go your way, the first place to look is in the mirror. And the only real question to think about is, what can I do differently, right? So if I have an issue with somebody, I don't go to them and say, why are we? I go to them and I say, what can I do differently so that this doesn't happen again? How can I communicate differently to you? So I've used it at work. I've used it even with my kids to try and help mentor them. And I just think that's a great book. It's a very easy, fun read. And I think there's a lot of stuff people can take away from it.
Got it. How many kids do you have?
I have 4. 4 kids. My youngest is 24, works at Tropical Smoothie. And I have 3 boys and 1 girl. My youngest son works at Tropical Smoothie, and my daughter works at Tropical Smoothie.
And we're joined by your daughter. Tell us what has it been behind the scenes watching Daddy build this awesome brand?
It's been absolutely incredible. So 10 years officially was last week, and that was insane to see. Yeah, we surprised him with the whole thing, all of the projects that he worked on since he started. So it's been really cool. I've been a part of the brand officially, you know, a year and a half.
Used to help us at trade shows
10 years ago. No, I remember helping with Charles. I used to make smoothies when I was like 14. So it's been a part of my life. But being able to work officially for Tropical Smoothie has been incredible. I'm obviously biased because he is my dad, but I will still say he's the most incredible leader and CEO that I've ever met. So working for him in the office, seeing that passion firsthand, not just as my father, but as my boss, is absolutely incredible. And yeah, something I'll be very proud of for the rest of my life. University of Georgia. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
I'm right near where I live. There's the Georgia Bar.
Oh, yeah. That's where my brother would go all the time.
Yeah.
No.
It's probably
yeah, yeah, exactly. Yep.
What else do we have?
Oh, book.
Yes, favorite book. What's your favorite book?
So the one I'm reading right now actually is a big book, and it's a tome. It's by Ray Dalio, a principled leader. Yeah, Principles. I think it's excellent. What's the book that I use the most, I would say, and that we're working with currently is Five Dysfunctions of a Team, Lencioni. Every time I read it and every time I go through it with a different management team, there's more layers. But to me, it's about trust. It's about saying, Mike, I disagree with you. You're my boss and you could fire me, but I freaking disagree with you and here's why. Yeah, radical transparency. And it's hard. It's hard. You can talk about it and read it in a book, but sitting in a room and talking to your superiors or people that work for you is very difficult. So that radical transparency is huge. And the companies that can get there, I'd say we're on our way, but I wouldn't say we're all the way there. That's what makes the difference.
Take me to the war room. You're making decisions. I mean, you have to make decisions on vendors, on a bunch of different things. What's it like with the team? Like, how are you an idea meritocracy, right? That's what Dalio talks about. Excellent book, by the way. We want to get Ray on the podcast.
Yeah.
But what's it like in the war room whenever there is a disagreement in the company? What's it like?
We go on the theory that you should be able to vehemently disagree in a very respectful manner, and you should be able to go out and have a cup of coffee and a beer afterwards, right? It's not personal. It's a war of ideas. And so we continue to try and do that. Now, at the end of the day, in that type of scenario, you've also got a king there, right? He's also known as the CEO. And so what we've been able to do with the expansion of our executive team is Mike doesn't have to make every decision. Mike wants to hear the different viewpoints. For many years, it was, Charles, what do you think? Okay, I disagree. We're going to go this direction, right? And luckily, we're very lucky that 99.9% of the time he's right. But we're now evolving into that idea of meritocracy, and he's able to sit back and hear the different views. But at some point, so the buck stops somewhere, right? And somebody has to make that decision. But we as an organization will make better decisions because our CEO has the ability to hear very different viewpoints on things.
And I would say one thing I would add to the decision making is, and Charles challenged me on this several years ago, of, you know, they wanted to start making more decisions. And we originally referred to it as Mike's lens when I said, Charles, if you look through this lens, and you really promised me that you're looking at it this way, then we're going to be fine. And the lens had three pieces to it, because I believe to be a great franchisor, you have to do three things. There's a lot of things you have to do, but there's three main categories. One is communicate to your franchisees. You have to communicate often. You have to communicate deep into their organizations, but communication is critical. The second one is you have to help your franchisees drive their economic engine. I got to help them grow sales, grow profits, right? I got to help them be more profitable. And then the third piece of the lens is you have to show franchisees you care. If you do those three things, if you're communicating to them on a regular basis, including them in decisions, if you are helping them drive their economic engine and these decisions drive that, and you're showing franchisees you care, if you look through that lens as you're making decisions, and that's the lens we look through to make those decisions, I think, you know, we're doing the right things for the brand in that scenario.
Love it. Take me back to when you were at 50 units. How is it different? And now it's just expanding the team.
Yeah.
But what advice do you have to someone? I was just hanging out and I'm about to go link up with a group that's around that area. What advice would you give to them now if you were to be in their shoes? They're looking at growing. They're teetering on profitability in terms of self-sufficiency, whatever. I forget the metric. But what advice do you have for them?
I would say probably the most important thing is remember who you're signing franchise agreements with. You're going to be with these people for a long time. Charles, I we joke about it. I always tell the franchise development team, and they do an awesome job. I'm very blessed to have a franchise development team like we do, and I'm not just saying that because he's sitting here. We really have a team that holds high standards to sign franchise agreements, and I told them years ago, my philosophy on it is, okay, franchise development, you date these people, I have to marry them. Okay, so don't bring anybody to the altar that you don't want me waking up with and looking at every day. Okay, so it's hard early on in franchising because that's your growth engine. But hold strong to what you believe about your brand and partner with people that you know you want to be with as best you can. The other thing that I would say is don't ever take your eye off of franchisee economics. Don't worry about the fact that somebody says, oh, well, you have to have, to be successful today, you have to have this type of technology or this LMS training system or whatever, if it's right for your brand. Don't just add things. There's a lot of brands out there that give their franchisees a lot of options, and the franchisees choose all these options, and sometimes it ends up being not a great scenario for their franchisee. It's the same thing for the franchisor. You have a lot of options of the processes and procedures that you can add. Make sure you are watching out for your franchisee's profitability. That's what will drive growth. Franchisee profitability is what drives growth.
Anything that you would add to that? Advice for folks younger on?
It would be back to my alignment and passion, right? The early franchisees of any system are typically going to be customers or they're going to be passionate brand followers. They believe in what the brand is doing. Because you can be a brand and you can grow it and be sub-profitable, sub-optimal, right? But it's going to be with passionate people who love the brand. Tropical Smoothie was the exact same way. I don't know why I'm doing this because the investment ratio isn't there, but I freaking want to do it. So that's okay. So you have to have that passion piece as well. Passion will drive the march towards profitability and the march towards the right things that will make franchisees money.
And it's excellent when you combine that passion. You mentioned sales cures all. That's a Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban's is infamous for saying that. Are you growing internationally?
We are not. Not today. No, we're just focused in the U.S.
Got it. Well, any parting words of advice to growth-minded entrepreneurs, typically our audience in franchising and beyond, but any parting words of advice?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, always stretch yourself. Always be looking for more of what you can do and surround yourself with people that are a lot smarter than you. That's what I've tried to do over the years is I'm not afraid to hire somebody bigger than me. Somebody who's smarter than me, has more experience, all that. I just consider that a challenge and an opportunity for me to grow. And I think when people think about it that way, and if you do that, then the people you bring on, they hire people bigger than them. You know, and it ends up really blossoming into a team that just really can accomplish anything.
Excellent. Stretch yourself. They say that, and I said this on the last podcast, they say the mark of a true leader and a good leader is setting that bar and stretching the team. And as soon as the team's almost there, you got to set it a little higher.
See, right. So don't be frustrated when I do that. But here's something else I would say about stretch goals and pushing the team. The reason why I push my team as hard as I do and I set stretch goals is because I know what I'm prepared to do to help them hit their goals. So I'm not just setting goals and saying, well, you're on your own. If you don't make it, you don't make it. I will do whatever it takes to help them accomplish those goals. So we set these goals together, we all stretch, and we all know that we're gonna help each other hit these goals. So you gotta have both, right? If you wanna set stretch goals and you wanna push people, you have to be willing to do what it takes to help them hit those goals.
Excellent. What is the stretch goal? You're at 640 units today. What's your goal 5 years, 10 years from now?
So I think we try to keep it pretty close into a 3 to 5 year time horizon because it's not about we want to be the next Subway and have 30,000 locations, right? So our first goal is 1,000 units by 2020. We have the deals in the pipeline to be able to do that. I think 1,500 is probably the next goal after that. But to talk about stretch goals, we sold 187 franchise agreements last year. Our goal this year is 200. The stretch goal off of that is about 225. But the overriding goal is we want to hit 750 open units by the end of 2018. And it's not going to be easy. I'll be the first to tell you that. But we have a whole program internally around the number 750 and 75, our OSAT scores for operations, the number of units, et cetera. So you can make this fun and you can get people on board. It's about creating a mission and a vision that everybody that can get on board with. Then the things that Mike talked about earlier in terms of rewarding people for stretching for those things, et cetera. And my only piece of advice to the new entrepreneur is you're going to work 14 or 16 hours a day. You better love it, right? You better want to hop out of bed at 4, 5, 6 in the morning to go do it. If your passion isn't there and you don't love it, you're not going to be as successful as you might otherwise be.
Excellent. Charles, Mike, thank you very much.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your time.
Where do folks go if they want to learn more and they're looking into franchising?
Absolutely. TropicalSmoothieFranchise.com is our franchise development website. I love to talk franchising, as does Mike, so feel free to reach out direct to me, cwatson@TropicalSmoothie.com. Love to just talk franchising and talk development. I'm always a resource and love to mentor in the franchise space.
Love it. Thanks, guys.
Yep, thank you.